This is just so ridiculous. It's just basic psychology. You just have to deduce it down and be like, okay, if the government isn't really interested in this stuff, and they should be interested in this stuff, why aren't they interested in it? Oh, well, maybe it's because they know exactly what's going on. We just don't want to be gaslit anymore. Welcome back to the Shake Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Van Shake, and we are still in the intimate studio. I know a lot of you like the more intimate feel, but in order to have a bigger podcast with more than just me, with guests and co-hosts, we're going to need the big podcast studio back. So we're kind of working through that right now. What we want to talk about here is some of the UFO, UAP, whatever you want to call it. I have my theory of why the government decided to change the acronym from UFO, that was all commonly used forever, to UAP. I think it's a few reasons. I think what they're trying to do is imply and also kind of get into people's minds that some of the things that we're seeing in the sky that just aren't really explained aren't necessarily objects, but are just phenomena. We just cannot explain it right now. Because if they're objects, the government should be doing something about this, and the government should know what's going on in our skies. However, of course, the government does know what's going on in our skies and knows exactly what these are because they're researching them. It's obvious. But they don't want us to know, for whatever reason, whatever stupid reason, that these are, in fact, objects that they are researching. That's the other thing, too, and we're going to talk about this a lot more deeper, but the government does not necessarily have to reveal everything about UFOs or UAPs, whatever you want to call them. They don't have to say everything that they're studying and all the progress they made to the, you know, down to the letter and everything that they've ever done. I think people just want to basically know, okay, the government is looking at this. Okay, you know, these are some of the things that we do have. This is some of what we know. And some of the things that we are researching that we're still in progress of researching, that's classified because we don't want any of our adversaries to know how far we are along in researching this type of technology. The people understand that there's a level of secrecy the government must have in order to prevent adversaries from knowing things and to knowing our progress. People understand that. We just don't want to be gaslit anymore. That's the biggest thing. We're sick of it. We're sick of being gaslighted.
But you can't not tell everybody that this stuff is going on, that we have, you know, actual hardware from another civilization. It's a big deal, you know, probably the biggest one there ever was.
It's really annoying when the government just says, oh, yeah, yeah, what you saw, no, those were weather balloons. It's like, they're not weather balloons. Stop that crap. It's not weather balloons. Stop lying. You know, that's what we don't want anymore, you know, and we're just sick of it. It's just being told these lies and being gaslit. If you're looking at this stuff, just say it. You don't have to tell us everything you know. Just say it. This is so annoying. And we heard a lot of this in the UAP UFO meeting. We're going to call it UFO. Pilots that flew alongside these UFOs, they were saying that, hey, some of this stuff is not classified. It's not that secretive. And it's ridiculous that the government just makes everything secret, no matter what. The government and all the contractors that work for the government, it's in their best interest to make everything classified, where it's not really classified at all. This overclassification in government, I think, is a very real problem. And why do you think they do that? Yeah, it's to really create job stability and jobs. That's what it does in government. Because think about it, if you have that much classified material, then all of a sudden, you can't fire that contractor. You can't fire that contractor that works for the government because that contractor has all that classified knowledge and, oh, that's top secret. So if you fire that contractor and you give it to another contractor or you decide to eliminate them, then they're running around with classified information. You know, it becomes what they would consider a national security risk. When in reality, it's not at all, because it doesn't matter. No one cares. No one cares that the U.S. government is studying UFOs. It's like, oh, yeah, of course they are. Yeah, of course. It's not a big deal. Everyone knows that. No one finds it very astounding that the U.S. government is doing this. I think from the U.S. government's perspective, they feel psychologically very insecure, feeling like, oh, it's the U.S. government, big and powerful, yet oh, there's something out there that we don't really know much about as far as their technology. The U.S. government seems to know a lot about what's going on and what's going on in our skies, but I don't think they know a lot about the actual technology. And to be able to actually reverse engineer a lot of that, it's hard to reverse engineer something that you just have no basis on. Think about how much progress our civilization has made in just 200 years. That's it. 200 years ago, 1823. Yeah? Wow. A lot of progress. No electricity back then, right? Everything you see, look around you, everything you see was pretty much not invented. Everything. Unless you count like a table or a chair. So if you were to show someone 200 years ago this room, your room, they would not recognize much of it other than the walls and the chair and the desk. That's about it. Because the alien technology is so many generations ahead of where we are, you know, more than just a generation, you know, 20 years, 30 years. Okay. It's probably hundreds of thousands of years, at least, maybe even millions of years ahead of us. We don't even know where to start with that. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. You can see that with their technology of how they move in the sky specifically. Maybe even, you know, shape-shifting. I don't know. No evidence of that for me, at least. But maybe there is, right? Maybe they can. I think for the governments, specifically the bigger governments, say, you know, Russia, China, the United States, when they get into these types of things and try to reverse engineer them, it's more of like, hey, is there any little things that we can kind of take from this that maybe we can possibly have some advantage over our adversaries? Now, in the UFO hearing, listen to what pilot Ryan Graves says, and we'll break it down.
The object, described as a dark gray or a black cube inside of a clear sphere, came within 50 feet of the lead aircraft and was estimated to be 5 to 15 feet in diameter. The mission commander terminated the flight immediately and returned to base. Our squadron submitted a safety report, but there was no official acknowledgement of the incident and no further mechanism to report the sightings. Soon, these encounters became so frequent that aircrew would discuss the risk of UAP as part of their regular pre-flight briefs.
What do you think that psychologically says? Yes, what it seems to say is that someone within the U.S. chain of command knows exactly what this is and knows for a fact it's not adversary. Therefore, they don't feel the need to actually research it and figure out who it is, who's doing this, and who's flying into our airspace to spy on us and possibly attack us. What it seems like is the government knows exactly what these are. Damn Alpha Centauris are always invading our airspace. Because if they had no idea and they thought this could be an adversary with a superior technology, we would be looking further into it and they would be talking to pilot Ryan Graves more deeply on this and wouldn't be hushing it up. This is just so ridiculous. It's just basic psychology. You just have to deduce it down and be like, okay, if the government isn't really interested in this stuff and they should be interested in this stuff, why aren't they interested in it? Oh, well, maybe it's because they know exactly what's going on. While we're talking about extraterrestrial technology, we can talk about how it seems like they are maneuvering their spacecraft. I use the term spacecraft because that's a term that, you know, we humans are more familiar with, but I really don't think that they actually flew billions and billions of light years to Earth to, you know, spy on us. I don't think it's like that. I don't think they flew here. I think they got here, making sure you have all your cute little gummy bears snacks for your long trip to Earth. No, I don't think it's like that at all. I think they're just getting here. I think they are traveling in general with gravity distortions. And if you don't know, gravity and time are very much correlated. So what they are doing is manipulating gravity to also manipulate their time. So when you see their spacecraft flying very, very, very quickly, you know, and making these ridiculous maneuvers that any animal human body could never withstand, they're not actually making those moves. What they're doing is skipping time. So the time that you would have seen them move, they just skip that time to move. So they're constantly chasing a distortion every time. You know, each one is a little distortion, little distortion, little distortion, which is an entire gravity distortion, which is a distortion of their time. So, you know, there's one point where The pilot, David Fravor, says that, oh, he was in front of me. Then all of a sudden, he's behind me. How did he do that?
There were no rotors, no rotor wash, or any sign of visible control surfaces like wings. It rapidly accelerated in front of us and disappeared. The controller came up and said, sir, you're not going to believe this, but that thing is at your cap point, roughly 60 miles away in less than a minute. You can calculate the speed.
That extraterrestrial was not operating his spacecraft in the same linear plane that we are. You know, he skips it. Because he has that potential. He has that capability of just skipping. That's what you get for a million years of progress, you know? I mean, that's what it is. And that's very similar to what Bob Lazar said of chasing a distortion in gravity, and they're constantly chasing a distortion to move. So it's not like they're actually being propelled by anything to keep them up or propulsion of any sort.
It produces a heart-shaped gravitational distortion around the craft. Now, if the craft is sitting in the air and you walk underneath it and look up, you actually cannot see the craft. The light bends around it. Your bending gravity bends light. It bends radio waves.
Space-time and gravity are all essentially interrelated. They all act on one another. Gravity bends space. Gravity also distorts time. When you vary one, you essentially vary the other two. Because space-time and gravity are all interrelated, if you could produce gravity artificially, an extremely intense field of gravity, what you could do is actually distort the distance between two objects and make it shorter. Not just distorting the distance, but now you're also decreasing the time between the two places.
Inertia is not going to affect it.
What happens is a great gravity distortion is created, and you're essentially bending space toward the craft. The craft becomes part of that space. When the gravity amplifiers are shut down, the craft is essentially where it was focused. It's a very difficult thing to grasp. It happens virtually instantaneously because of the fact that gravity distorts time. And if you're bending space and time along with it, when you wind back up in that place, you're there between the ticks of a clock.
Once they're hovering in the air, they'll swing the gravity, two remaining gravity generators, up in front of them and create a distortion.
There's a gravitational envelope in there which negates any inertia effects.
Why actually spend the time to physically move yourself if you can just skip the time that it took to get from point A to point B? Just skip it. You know, it makes more sense. And it's just ridiculous that Congress is being denied access to some of this stuff. People that we elect that should be at the head of government are being denied access to secretive things. Because if you haven't seen it or heard it, watch this.
Members of Congress say they were stonewalled from accessing a Florida Air Force base where they were promised briefings on alleged sightings of UFOs by pilots.
Arrogance of this general was beyond belief.
And ultimately, even before we got down there, the Pentagon actually tried to cancel the field hearing. We were stonewalled. They would not give us access to testimony from some of the pilots. They were hiding images and information.
We're done with the cover-up.
If the Pentagon thinks that they're above Congress, they have something else coming to them. We told them we were going to do this if they continued to hide information, and ultimately, the American people deserve the facts.
The Pentagon denied there is any evidence of UFOs of alien origin.
Based on what we know, based on what we heard from other people, it makes sense because that's what seems to be going on. There is a government within a government. There are some things in government that are going on that our elected officials in government are not allowed to know. That's a problem, I think. And I give Congress a lot of credit for looking into this, but gosh, but I'm not very confident that they're going to be able to unveil much at all because, you know, this stuff has been going on before. You know, where he had Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter tried to do it, and he was stonewalled, and he didn't have a chance. And he was president. Because think about it like this. With president, you oversee the Pentagon.
We audit the Pentagon every year, and they fail the dadgum thing every year. Maybe 60% of their assets are unaccounted for.
That's where all this stuff is going on. It's going on through the Pentagon. However, it's not necessarily just government. It's also a private sector as well.
It's a group of career senior executive officials.
Okay, are they government officials?
Both in and out.
Do what?
Both in and out of government, and that's about as far as I can go there.
And if you don't know, what they do is compartmentalize a lot of this. So, in other words, one group may be working on this small aspect of it, or you know, that small aspect of it, and this small. But you can have thousands of people working on something and not really even knowing what they're working on, right? It's just, oh, we're working on this. We're not going to tell you much else. You're just working on this one little part. right? It reduces the chances that it's going to get out to the general public and it's going to be leaked.
They compartmentalize everything. They're so over the top concerned about security. They split everything off and everybody becomes stagnant.
And there's just a handful of people that pull it all together that are at the top to figure it all out and to piece it from a high level. But everyone else, they're so minute, tiny, 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 tiny. Compartmentalization works. It works very, very well. And some may be saying, that's just folklore. It's not really what the government does. They don't really compartmentalize. No, they do all the time, actually. All their top secret shit, they always compartmentalize. You know, whether it's new missile technology, airplane technology.
95% of the people who worked at Oak Ridge had no idea of what they were involved in. These machines were operated not by scientists, but by female high school graduates. And they had little idea of what they were involved in.
Defense systems technology, specifically with, you know, I haven't seen the movie Oppenheimer, but I know the story. And what they would do is have everyone work on their little things of the nuclear project. And then it was only a few people that pull it all together. It's just what the government does all the time to keep things a secret. And you know what? It works. It works very, very, very well. Because you're able to have a lot of people in on something, but not in on it at the same time.
The units that they were monitoring, they actually sat in front and would turn these knobs as needed. They were actually rheostats that would change the current going to the magnets and the calutrons. But they didn't know that. All they knew was this meter needs to stay on a certain number, and I adjust this one or I adjust this one to make it move one way or the other. They had no idea what they were actually doing.
Something that I touched on that is very, very interesting and curious to talk about is government contractors. Some of you know that before doing YouTube and everything else that I do, I was in corporate management at very large corporations in the United States, okay? And I also have a lot of friends that also work in corporate management in a lot of big corporations in the United States. And sometimes we talk about things that seem a little bit interesting and kind of curious that are not, you know, sworn to secret for the company, right? Where you just kind of talk about some things that we're noticing that seem a little curious of what's going on here. And something always curious that we end up talking about usually is government's involvement in big corporations. Major misperception is that there's government and then there's corporations. And they're not at all connected at all. You know, I mean, they're, you know, maybe the government may be a client of a big corporation, but they're not connected in any way whatsoever. Or are they? You know, this whole split between corporations and government, it's not really like that. There is a very common government, big corporation partnership. Government is in partnership with big corporations under the guise of national security. That's all the government has to say. This is national security. We need to partner with you on this. That's all they need to say. That's all it is. And then guess what? The corporation's like, okay, sure. What do you need to know? What do you need to do?
How does a program like that get funded?
Misappropriation of funds.
Does that mean that there is money in the budget that is said to go to a program, but it doesn't, and it goes to something else?
Yes, I have specific knowledge of that. Yep.
Do you think U.S. corporations are overcharging for certain tech they're selling to the U.S. government, and that additional money is going to programs?
Correct, through something called IRAD.
They have the ultimate trump card. National security. The big takeaway is that there is not this perfect separation between government and big corporations. There is that intermingling. There is that connection when the government does think that national security is at risk. There is a suspicion, a real suspicion, that there are some big corporations that are being kept afloat by the government. Okay? Where they should have gone bankrupt, or they shouldn't be around, or, you know, or something like that, you know, but maybe the government is keeping them afloat. I don't know 100%, but there is that suspicion. To me, it's something that I just kind of always accepted and always knew, kind of working in that field. But I think not everybody is aware of that connection with the government. And of course, the U.S. government seems to be trying to discredit David Grush to claim that he had PTSD a while ago. He was in an inpatient facility with his PTSD. I think one point he got drunk or something. I mean, it's like, It's like, really? Really? That's to discredit him that he had PTSD? And then now, what? He's saying things in line with everybody else, with a whole bunch of other people that are also saying the same thing, too, about this stuff. It's not like, you know, David Grush is the only person in the history of the world that's saying this. If he was, then it's like, okay, well, maybe he's a little, you know, he's not thinking straight, you know? No, David Grush is saying everything in line with a whole bunch of other credible people. It's not just David Grush, you know? And yes, he's the primary whistleblower, and sure, but it's all in line with everything else that we know and everything else that we've heard. It's nothing really that surprising either.
Have you faced any retaliation or reprisals for any of your testimony?
It was very brutal and very unfortunate, some of the tactics they used to hurt me both professionally and personally, to be quite frank.
Do you have any personal knowledge of people who have been harmed or injured in efforts to cover up or conceal these extraterrestrial technology?
Yes, personally.
It's like, oh, the government's keeping secrets from us? Since when? Why would the government do that? The government has always, always been honest and truthful with us. And a lot of people are like, yeah, so the U.S. government is researching UFOs? Not a big surprise. We all know that because it's so obvious. It's so obvious because we all heard of stories. We've all seen the videos. We've all maybe even had an experience, an extraterrestrial experience of not necessarily being abducted, but maybe, but actually seeing these in the sky or hearing stories from a family member or a friend that was completely adamant that that was what they saw, that it was not a plane, it was something extraterrestrial, something that humans were never be able to build at this point in our stage of human civilization. But somehow we saw it. So therefore, if it's not human, then what is it? It's not very hard to deduce it down to figure out what's going on in our world. Now in the comments, how much do you think the U.S. government knows about extraterrestrials? Let everyone know in the comments below. If you're not already subscribed to the Shake Podcast, give it a subscribe. We are everywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon. You can watch the show on YouTube. Everywhere you get your podcasts, that's where you can get the podcast shaked. See you at the top.